I accidentally edited out the disclosure form, but we have no financial gain or any other gain on the disclosure. I also teach policy setup, in particular for locals and state. And the framework for this actually was to take you kind of behind the closed door political scene of Ohio. Now, when you get into the policy world, please remember that not everybody looks at the same denominator. If you're public health, hopefully you're looking at risk and balances and relative risk and overall risk states, right? Zero to whatever. In your political arena or the HMO arena, you're looking at actuarial rates, but really what you're doing is you're commoditizing people's health situation. Well, the on-running joke for us is you're commoditizing the potential for pain, suffering, and death. It's a rude joke, but it tends to be true. And in a local administrative or activities arena, in all honesty, you're trying to basically assist people to dance between the commodity reality and risk. And so what you're trying to do is help keep them going or, in all honesty, do damage control. With that, I decided to show you the damage control side. So, last year in 2010, I had a discussion with some other people with the governor, then the governor of the state of Ohio, Ted Strickland. And his basic kind of root question, which was fair, why address policy and program issues with the OFHS? What's the gain for Ohio? In particular, given the fact that he was trying to deal with a $3.5 billion deficit. And his answers, the answers that we gave him, primarily me, the state's indicators and health system stress demand it. I'll show you two maps and two slides, and that's it on that. Two, the resource strained budget and personnel, state and local agencies, state-specific data enables more precise targeting of policy and program priorities relating to efforts, efficiencies, and impact. In the end, and I see some of you here that also do your own surveys like the Health Foundation, in the end, your job is to operationalize data to help people out, or if your state is stressed, in all honesty, to help with the damage control factor. Three, while the BRFIS and other data sets offer valuable information for the state of Ohio, CPS, and a variety of others, they don't foster nuance. And in the policy world, nuance is everything. It could be a cultural litmus like no new taxes. It could be the abortion issue. It could be a lot of things in the policy world. But the nuances are, in fact, what you model your data to. You can get, and you've heard people look at uninsurance. You see that people look at poverty. You see that people look at lack of healthcare access. Do not kid yourself behind closed doors. The nuances matter. They matter immensely. I would argue they actually matter more at the local and state level, by the way, than the federal. So, this is the state of Ohio, and this is total unemployment. This is up. We're finishing the new numbers. This is from administrative data or instrumental data. We lost 650,010 jobs between 2000 and 2010. Many of the jobs where you see the blue are part-time jobs, so they don't carry the health benefits that you would expect. We're estimating now that we're hovering around 710,000 total FTE lost equivalent jobs. That's alpha base of 4.8 million jobs total. This was the answer to the governor, by the way. These are the unemployment claims as a weekly floating mean. Now, you see Appalachia, and everybody knows Appalachia has troubles. They look blue. They look like they're doing well. We went down in those communities and checked them out, and that's because they ran out of benefits. So they're looking better, but basically because they're no longer eligible to receive assistance. This is what shocked our governor. If you consider health care reform at 138% of poverty, which is 133% by federal rule, plus a 5% forgiveness that almost every state is going in, the situation for not just Ohio, by the way, we keep very close tabs on Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky, and Illinois. The situation is that for the first time since we've ever been tracking this stuff and we could find, the solidly middle class now, as far as a raw count of individuals, are less than those at 138% of poverty and down. It's not in this slide, but 54.2% of kids in the state of Ohio now are at 200% of poverty and below. And again, let me express, we're doing better than our neighbors, which is kind of fearful. In 1994, when we did the experimental state BRFS, we participated in that. At the 200% of poverty and below, we're at 31%. Again, we're at 54.2. Now, why does 200% of poverty matter? It matters for Medicaid cutoff, right? So things like the Family Health Survey are used to impact major programs in the state. It also matters because, according to John Eisland and others who we work with, Ohio sits somewhere between 160 and 165% of poverty as a functional poverty level. You have the absolute poverty level right at 100% of poverty. You have a relative poverty level, which you could make 500% of poverty, and if you have cancer and no insurance, you're poor. This is where people can't make their bills, and it's about 160, 165, so we mark the 200 carefully. This gets complicated by results out of the Family Health Survey that employee-sponsored insurance is falling like a rock. We did do the Ohio Employer Health Survey to verify this, and it appears that most of the employers are not going to be able to get back into the insurance arena. So we were expecting with the 2012-13 Ohio Family Health Survey that we're going to be hovering around 50% of the population being covered by ESI. Again, the experimental in 1993 of 74%. So, what you do, and what I recommend you do, when you go out, if you're going to do a SAFE survey or any survey, is make sure right from the get-go that you have your representatives, you have your stakeholders at the table giving you information on what they want, even if you're trying to scratch your head and think, how do you quantify that into a survey, which, by the way, happens a lot. So Tylenol is a good thing, which Rick could testify to when you're getting input on surveys. So we looked at state and local representatives of Medicaid, public health, mental health, and allied health are the biggies. Medicaid, because it's the major budget in the state. We did this time, and we did last time, developmental disabilities, a special population, and on two fronts. We feel that they deserve it because of the situation they're in, and they also crush Medicaid and Medicare financially. Alcohol and drugs. Oh, we go to the associations. I'm not sure if everybody else does that, medical, nursing, a variety of others. We actually talk to health advocates and stakeholders, which makes, by the way, our political body, because the state of Ohio is primarily paid by state dollars, somewhat nervous, because you're inviting people they disagree with instantaneously to the table to meet with them also. But we work it out. Health foundations play an important role in the state of Ohio, in particular to get not just questions, but resources into specific areas of need that they actually have an interest in. And we also go to state and local elected officials, and that also includes the two senators and some of the state representatives in the state. And we can't forget academics. Help us if we can forget academics. Examples of topics that are being suggested, which you've already seen, are insurance type. In particular, thinking of the balance between exchanges, Medicaid expansion, and what's happening with ESI. Health reform indicators, access to healthcare services, medical homes, enhanced primary care homes. Please remember that a medical home, as far as a network, is different than enhanced primary care home. You could have giant-sized networks like, say, the Trinity Health System owns a series of Catholic hospitals in the state of Ohio, and they actually can serve as a sort of medical home. An enhanced primary care home is very much more local. Unmet needs and why they're unmet. Social determinants of health, again, a biggie. Key on poverty, jobs, part-time jobs, disrupted families. We stumbled into, as a footnote, by the way, in the last big survey, 2008 and in 2010, you have to pay very acute attention if you're going to help agencies between household income, as the CPS ask it, and ACS and some others, and then family income. Please remember that WIC, Medicaid, almost every state program is going to be family income. We also found that 17% of families in the state of Ohio are complex, which is a bit of a problem. And HUD and a variety of other people were interested in that, which means that the economy and lost jobs are forcing people to reshift, you might say, what recently we've considered traditional families. The on-running joke for us is we're going back to the 50s and 40s. You look at self-rated health statuses. Keep those in mind, by the way, for your anchors for modeling. The general self-rated health status question over a five-year period does rank better than medical diagnoses. And that's because people usually see a diagnosis for a reason, right? And the patient actually will understand their health status. Special health care needs, health risk factors, and associated demographics. Policy topics addressed. Again, the trick here is the dance between the state needs, which are larger budget issues, and then our friends like this woman over here in local public health who have to often operationalize the state issues. And I'm sorry about my voice, I have a cold. So we do a descriptive analyses at the state, regional, and county levels for everybody, and we give it away. We put in these huge spreadsheets. We go regionally to people. We tell them how to read it, how to use confidence intervals, when to get careful when you put something in your grant, when you can be fairly sure about it. And we put them up on these spreadsheets that go all the way to the end of the Microsoft line. I think it's like ZZZ of an Excel spreadsheet. And we give them away to everybody. We also do something that I think maybe just us, but I don't know of anybody else that does do this. We sponsor research from academics on specific problems oriented toward white papers, primarily on state policy issues. For instance, enhanced primary care home for the Ohio Department of Health. What's happening with employee-sponsored health insurance for the Ohio Department of Insurance? What is the drop-in expectation for Medicaid in 2014 for Ohio Medicaid? We actually did one as an advocate orientation on what is the rising prevalence in domestic violence. But we actually sponsor very thorough, very in-depth, 30-page white papers that address specifically policy requests. We also then generate, when we don't want to do a white paper, a variety of briefs for a variety of people on just about anything any elected official or whoever else wants. We try to limit those to 2 pages, get to the point, write it to the point of where their chiefs of staff can understand it, use it, and in fact always try as much as we can to put something that you may be able to operationalize if you want to address a problem at the very end of it. We're often not sure how much that gets listened to, but at least it's there. Nobody laughed. We do a bunch of technical assistance data runs and summaries, and that is if anybody has any question that they want that they're not sure, surveys for a lot of people locally like CHIS or the Family Health Survey, we have 109 strata. There's all these things that have to go into it. We don't presuppose that they're going to be able to navigate it so well. So when they're writing grants or if they're writing something for their local media or whatever, we'll help them out and do that analysis. And we've had about over, for the 2008, we had a little over 250 requests for different types of technical assistance. Priorities, again, if you're thinking about how we apply, and I'm not showing actual programs, I'm just showing you what's been asked for 2012. Budget estimations, program development planning, access to care and unmet health care needs, indicators of health demographics for the state, again, keen on poverty, jobs, and overall SES standards, because that's tax revenue and everybody's worried about how they'll do. Assistance with applied policy for elected officials, boards of health, Medicaid, even hospitals and HMOs. If you have any information that you would like to have out of the Family Health Survey or include Ohio as an example of the stuff we do versus what you might like to do, feel free to call us. We appreciate the chance to speak to you and hope you found this insightful. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim.